Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of How to Watch a Movie as a Christian. I'm Riley.
I'm PJ.
And I'm Javen.
How to watch the Super Mario Bros. Movie as a Christian. Now, this movie came out.
It did.
And it's something. I took all three of my kids, two of my nephews, and my dad. My wife was there. We were all there. It was like a whole row. Okay. And man, they loved it.
Your dad?
He did too. He absolutely loved it. Yeah.
Doesn't he wear like a giant Mario hat all the time?
He wears a rainbow Mario hat.
Yeah.
A lot. Right.
We have always, like the Mario cap?
Like no.
Like cappy?
Yeah.
No. It's a baseball cap with a Mario face on it, but the cap itself is rainbow colored.
Right. I see.
And we're just like, oh, I don't know. What store did you buy this at? What month of the year did you buy this? Anyways, so what are our thoughts? Super Mario Bros. Movie.
This is a movie that exists. I'd say, other than Despicable Me, it's my favorite Illumination Studios movie.
What else did Illumination Studios do?
They've done Sing. They've done Secret Life of Pets. They've done, PJ, help me out.
Did obviously all of the Despicable Me movies, Minions, The Sings, they did Secret Life of Pets. They've done other random ones. And to be honest, I think that I hate all of them. I like Despicable Me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for Minions.
Yeah, well, Despicable Me gave me a vibe.
I know it was my dad's profile picture on Facebook for like decades.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out PJ's dad.
But, I really, really, really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah, Illumination's best.
It has the reputation of like lazy kids movies that like Secret Life of Pets is the perfect example to me. It's like Toy Story, but with animals. Mm. And then they just, like it's not creative.
I do wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that this is not an original idea, but it is something that has a vast amount of source material to draw from.
I think so.
I'd be curious to see them do another Nintendo franchise movie, like a Metroid or a Kirby or something, to see if they can,
really fun.
You know, hit that nail twice.
I'd be so curious about a Zelda. I'd be so skeptical.
That would be really interesting.
I don't think they should, but if you were to do it, how would you do it?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
It should. It would not. It could not. What's that Dr. Seuss book? In a house with a mouse. Be like a comedy, though.
Excuse me, princess. Guys, I drew Mario.
I want that guy in there.
Yours.
That's
Mario
really
drawing
good
is
from
way
memory
better than I was expecting.
Okay, if you do Mario, then now you talk, and I'm gonna try to draw Bowser from memory. Give me the other page.
There you go.
Be careful with my pen.
It's a fountain
pen. It's a little finicky fountain pen. Yeah, I think I totally agree with what you guys are saying, because Illumination movies, I took my kids to see Secret Life of Pets in theaters. I couldn't sit through it. I'm just like, they are known for that. But this one, would you say that it took its heritage, you know, its history and its lore and its source material, and like pulled from it?
I think there's a lot of love. Nintendo was really involved.
Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of Mario, was an executive producer on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It shows.
It does show. Think of this dude. Shigeru Miyamoto made up Mario, Donkey Kong, Zelda, Metroid, I think Kirby.
That's bonkers.
Why not? Put it in there.
What a stacked guy.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love this movie too. I did have some thoughts, which we will get into. But yeah, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. So, how do we watch Mario Bros. Movie as a Christian? Well, wait, first let's address maybe some of the more kind of points that a lot of people have talked about. How did Chris Pratt do?
I think the general consensus is he was a lot better than they were expecting, but he's not like blow your socks off good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that they voice casted this movie so well, except for Chris Pratt.
Really?
I think he did a fine job.
He did, yeah.
But to be honest, one, it felt like it was just Chris Pratt trying to do an impression, like a mild Italian impression,
yeah,
which I guess is fine. In the very beginning of the movie, spoilers, they do a little trope of Luigi and Mario with their like really comical Italian voices. Oh, it's a me, Mario, you know, really high pitch. And I thought, oh, this is fun. That's fun. And then they explain how that's not their actual real voices and they were just putting on for the camera, which I guess if you're going to do what they did, that's the way to do it. But I didn't care for his not super Italian voice.
There's a fine line, like with Chris Pratt, I think obviously he's the most controversial, but he also has it the hardest in a way because there's so much baggage with that voice. And you can't do a wahoo like for an hour and a half.
You couldn't do that.
That would be
for
obnoxious.
Every line.
Yeah.
You know, he's all, I just don't want to prove to yeah. be a princess Peach.
I would truly hate that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like, you know, maybe he did fine. And that's probably the best option that he did. And he did do it, though, at key moments, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there was a bit of that.
What I did enjoy is that you could tell he got all of these little things that he did. There were like family traits. Like you mm-hmm. see his dad do it and you see like right. cousins making similar things. And you think, oh, it's like a family thing, which I think maybe we'll talk more about later. But they do cast a really nice light on family. I love the tie between him and Luigi.
Yeah.
They just really love each other. I kind of, for whatever reason, was, I guess, I don't know. I thought they would maybe take it a different direction. Like maybe Luigi would be jealous of Mario or whatever. Like they could have gone, but they didn't.
Yeah, that's
they
my favorite
really
part
loved
of
each
it.
Other.
Yeah.
It was especially like at the end. The bond yeah. between the brothers.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed that the end, the climax of the movie or whatever, like the main boss battle, main boss battle.
That
battle
was crazy.
Dude, what a crazy battle. That got me emotional. When Luigi and Mario are like blocking the fire with the little,
right, with the sewer
yeah, thing, whatever you call that, manhole.
Cover. Yeah, I mean, I agree that more of their dynamic would be more fun to watch, meaning that Luigi being in a cage the whole movie was kind of like,
yeah,
oh man,
I had that thought too. Yeah.
But you know, that's the plot, and that's the same reason why you like their dynamic is the same reason why that plot generates a lot of like, oh, come on, you know, and energy because you want them to get back together,
totally.
You know, and that's
it
cool.
made me a bigger fan of Luigi too.
Oh, have you played the Luigi's Mansion games?
I bought it. I didn't buy a Mario game after. I bought a Luigi's Mansion game after.
Which, wait. Have you played Mario Odyssey?
Yeah, of course I have.
I just got it. I haven't played
Dude,
it yet.
It's the best Mario game
it's
there
really
is.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It's Other than good. Mario 3, which is my favorite, but Mario Odyssey is better.
Okay, because I've played Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 endlessly. Love them.
For NES?
Yeah. Ooh. Or I played them on my Game Boy Advance.
Wow, you're so cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was all about Mario 3, the music.
Is that a good Bowser?
Looks like looks dragon from Mulan.
Mushu,
yeah.
Or it looks kind of like Donkey Kong wearing a Bowser costume.
Oh, no.
So, okay, Mario Bros. Movie, we all liked it. We felt like it kind of honored, you know, just a lot of love for the Mario games. But as a Christian, is there anything to this? Is there anything to watching the Super Mario Bros. Movie as a Christian? So, Jave, what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I mean, with any piece of content, there's a potential smidge of depth that you could hit onto. And when you connect it to the scriptures, it becomes a vast ocean of depth.
Yeah.
So my initial thoughts would be you have a very archetypal, primal kind of foundation within the Mario story. It's average man has to rescue a princess.
And they really lean into the averageness of Mario in this movie.
If anything, he's like less than average. He can't
below average
do anything, but he doesn't quit.
Exactly. Yeah. Average dude has to slay a dragon and that, you know, save the princess. That's a fairy tale. That's a story that has a lot of depth to it. It's a very simple motivation.
That's the story of the original games. Mm-hmm. But here it's save his brother.
Yeah.
There's a little save the princess in the kind of third, beginning of the third act, but that's quickly kind of removed.
Yeah. And I think comparing the original video game's plot and how the culture has evolved over the years to what the Mario movie is now, I think that's really interesting to explore, right? So Princess Peach being damsel in distress, help me, Mario, to like, I'm a boss girl. I have ice flowers in my bouquet and I don't need Mario at all, to like exploring that and how that has progressed. Or how Bowser is like this evil, you know, bad guy.
Dragon.
Dragon. And then in the movie, he's an incel.
He is, but I will say, you haven't played Odyssey yet. That is the plot of Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
He wants to marry Princess Peach.
See, okay. I actually really like that angle.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's great.
And they do all the... I mean, obviously, Jack Black took it and just made it so funny.
Amazing.
But in Odyssey, that is it. He wants to marry Princess Peach. That's why he's kidnapped her.
Yeah.
And Mario is simply just trying to rescue her. And by the end, Mario kind of thinks he's going to marry Princess Peach. And Princess Peach's like, I don't want either of you. Yeah. And she leaves.
I love that.
It's great. So good. It really is awesome. And I think that, like, yeah, you're right, Javen. Like, the original thing is so archetypal. It's St. George the Dragon Slayer, which is like a classic myth from medieval times, which is St. George is one of the Catholic saints. I think you pray to him when you want
a dragon
slayer. Dragon slayer.
When you need a dragon slayer? No, it's when you need protection, I believe.
I see.
And but St. George is rumored to have slayed a dragon. And go Google any of the paintings of him. But they say that he killed a dragon and then rescued the princess. That's the actual story. And he's an actual saint, right? So this is not some made-up thing. And, but it kind of plays on, you know, we talk about archetypes and stuff like that. I think as a Christian, it is really useful, if not necessary, to see these hints of archetypal stories. And what we mean by that is just like universal stories that have been going on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And even Bowser being an incel is appropriate, because what it's saying is, hey, this is a dragonish thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, the dragon, the serpent, the Leviathan in the book of Job, or the serpent snake in Genesis 3 and Revelation 12. Mm. That's archetypal, right? Satan is represented as a snake or a dragon type figure. And so it is the goal of the hero to defeat this. And then the kind of virginal damsel in distress, it's not a comment on femininity. It's a comment on need and the need to be rescued and the kind of the ultimate symbolic archetypal thing that needs to be valiantly conquered and rescued. So I think that it's funny how in our modern culture, we've lost our appetite for archetype, I think. We've lost our appetite for symbolism. To say man conquers beast, rescues girl, it's like, it's not a comment on, this isn't dating advice.
Right.
It's symbolism, right?
Right. The good guy always being good, the bad guy always being bad. What you're seeing nowadays is it's like, it's more complex. It's
more complex. And it is more complex.
It is.
But the stories are purposefully simple because they simplify the complexity of life. And I think, honestly, I think the fact that this movie has now made $1 billion, I don't know. It's like one of those success stories of movies where you go, guys, get back to the simple stories. Mm. They clearly do something for people.
Because it always comes down to this one thing, which is good versus evil, and good triumphs evil. Mm-hmm. And we eat it. Yummy. And you can put all kinds of whatever you want on it. You can make it Mario. You can make it Lord of the Rings. You can make it Jedis. Whatever it is. It follows that same recipe. And those are all of our favorite stories. Good triumphing over evil.
Yeah, for sure.
What did you think of the complexity that they did add to Mario? He's got daddy issues. Like, he kind of wants to please his father, who is like this Italian guy. I always feel like
with Mario.
You know what's so funny? I heard this. I actually don't know if it's true, but I'm pretty sure it is. That Mario Brothers is not the name of the game. That's not what it was called. That's the English name of the game. And what happened is the 8-bit graphics look like the little guy's wearing overalls or something. And so they, let's call him Mario and Luigi and let's make him into Italian. Oh, those tubes. Well, what if they're plumbers?
Yeah.
Those are pipes, right?
No, it is.
And so the lore about him being this Italian plumber kind of developed after the game was created.
On accident.
On accident.
Mario's mustache, the developers were like, how do we distinct his nose from his mouth?
It's just a pixel.
Let's just put a mustache on him. That's because that's the limitations they had graphic-wise. Now we don't have that limitation at all.
Now, and you go to like Mario 64 and he's like, thank you so much for playing my game. It's like insane.
Enjoy some pasta.
It was like I just am wondering.
Five backflips.
Where are the like Italian protesters in the streets?
We are
more than this. But what do you think of the complexity? You know, they added like a big theme. Donkey Kong has the same struggle with his dad, which, by the way, I didn't know Cranky Kong was his dad.
Everyone knows that.
Who is Diddy Kong in this situation? Is he just a fan? Is he a little brother?
I think just he's another monkey. Donkey Kong's little brother, right?
I'd hope so.
I think it's a family.
Kong is the last name.
It's weird because
Donkey Kong 64, I'm pretty sure that they're all siblings. There's Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, Linky Kong. Chunky Kong, and then the girl Daisy Kong,
Dixie Kong.
Yeah, she has.
She was my favorite because she could with the blonde hair.
Yeah, super fun. What was the question? Oh, the complexity of
father issues, Cranky Mario. Kong.
Yeah. So they did do a bit where they super amplified his Italian-ness. And then they quickly show you that they're not actually that. They are real, just normal Brooklyn brothers. They own this plumbing service that is failing, and everyone thinks that they're losers. But for some reason, they just won't quit because Mario's not a quitter.
He's not a quitter.
That's like, I think, one of the main themes, if not the main thing, is he will not quit, good or bad. He just won't, which is great. And then you see that they go back home. Their family is loving but also nagging at the same time that they are just these loser plumbers and they should just do something else, you know.
Why don't you do something with your life kind of a thing.
I remember I laughed out loud when one of the aunts or something is serving a plate of food and the guy she served it to is like, oh, it's the Mario Brothers. And she goes like this. She goes, what I do?
It is the Italian-ness is like Joey from Friends the whole time.
Yeah, man, it made me laugh. I don't know why, but good on them.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, all that to say is that it shows you that he does have some family issues and that he feels like a failure in their eyes. Mm. It's not super expounded upon.
Right, it's not you're not banged over the head with it, but it's kind of just enough of like a push on them to get him and Luigi to try and prove themselves and to band together.
That's how I took it as their motivation to actually keep going is their family, is they wanted not to just to prove them wrong, but to prove that they could do it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was sweet. So I wouldn't necessarily even say daddy issues, but maybe more so that he just wanted to make his dad proud. Right. Because it didn't seem like they had like a bad or toxic relationship or anything.
How about Donkey Kong? Same thing. Like, I'm not just a joke.
I'm not just a guy who smashes. Yeah. I'm not just the guy who flick. This is a horrible Seth Rogen impression. Who flexes his pegs.
Oh, man.
That's a weird character arc to go from the pec flexing.
I think that there's a funny thing in adapting original source material that writers do. And here they did it, I think, pretty good. But it's a similar technique where they just go, what is Donkey Kong known for? Let's make him wish that he was more than that. Like if you saw the series, the Velma cartoon.
No, but I heard it was
from Scooby-Doo.
Legitimately awful.
Jinkies.
It is, I'm not even kidding, worse than the new Pinocchio movie. It's so bad. But the writers clearly were going, okay, what's Velma known for? Let's make her whole motivation. She wants to be known for more than that.
Hmm.
And it feels so lazy. But here it kind of works, actually. It makes me laugh.
It works because they parallel his arc to Mario's, where they kind of come to at the same time.
It's also not the main motivation, right?
True.
Mm-hmm. What's it called? Velma?
Velma.
Yeah, that seems to be the main thing. This is like a very... offhanded, almost side quest.
Yeah, to me it felt like a thing of status where even the lowest of the low and the highest of the highs sort of deal with the same emotions. Donkey Kong is this like prince jungle kingdom or whatever, and Mario is this little humble Italian plumber from Brooklyn. But they deal with the same emotion.
Sure. What is Princess Peach's motivation? I mean, we know she wants to save the Mushroom Kingdom. Bowser's on his way to take over it. He wants to marry her. Which we find out later, but peaches.
I laughed. It just this movie throughout made me laugh. I really, really loved it.
But what I think just a couple things with Princess Peach, she had that motivation to save her kingdom. I don't know what much else about her. You know what I mean?
I think she was the weakest character in that. Like
she had a bit of an origin story.
They showed how strong.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
How what?
She's from the human kingdom.
She's from the human
world. That was interesting, but it's not really a weakness.
Yeah,
it's not a weakness, but it made my wife emotional.
Oh,
when she watched it.
Interesting.
Maybe then there is something. Then when she runs into Mario, it's like, oh, you're like me.
Yeah.
Like who am I? Kind of a thing. Some identity kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
That is interesting, but yeah, it's like. I did have the thought and then quickly just left it alone because I'm watching Super Mario Brothers movie. But it's like, why does Peach actually even need Mario? She does that training course thing.
She's like,
far
hey,
better than he ever could.
Good to see you. Why don't you come train with me? It was very like, all right.
It was obviously just like the vehicle to get Mario to do Mario things.
Very quick.
But... I mean, again, it's like you're watching Super Mario Brothers movie. You have to sort of just let that happen. Otherwise, I mean, what do you want, a 3-hour Mario movie?
I think that we just talked about this with John Wick 4, that it's not that movies have to have as much depth as The Godfather or something, mm-hmm. or as much complexity as Succession, which I'm watching right now. It's incredible. But it's that it has to be internally logical, like within itself, you have to accept it. And I do think it kind of bothered me when Princess Peach was like, oh, hey, why don't you come train with me? I don't know. I just felt easy.
Came out of the blue.
But then like PJ Sin is like, okay, well, all right, well, whatever.
You could also bring out like, what's it like in the video game? It's literally, there's nothing. Character shows up to character and then they do the thing. But as a movie, that doesn't work. We need more than just pixels moving. There needs to be like motivation there.
Which is, I think, my second comment on the movie was, I felt weird knowing that Mario has like family prove it to my dad motivation.
Yeah.
I was like, I've known this dude my whole life.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was
I've never known this about him. It was like finding out about your friend. No way, you're going through this? Why didn't you tell me?
I was talking to Ben about this. It's like, I really, really enjoyed it. but I can't get over how human they made Mario. It just feels, like you're saying, like really weird. It's like, it's not the Mario that I know, but it's the Mario that I can appreciate.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
But it is
weird. Wish he told me earlier in our relationship.
That's his secretly his motivation for way, yeah. every game. In Mario Party, he's just trying to prove to his dad.
Having the bad day.
In Mario Sunshine, he's cleaning the island of all the mud. Just like, wish my dad wish could my see me.
Mario Tennis.
So, Mario Kart. Mario Golf.
All great games.
All great games. And so I think this is the kind of the crux of the matter with video game movies is video games are an empty shell, like a vehicle for the player to go, I'm going to go on an adventure as this average dude,
right.
going to conquer a dragon, rescue a girl. It's like a fun archetypal adventure that I go on with through him, you know?
At your own pace.
And so there's no motivation. And a lot of video games have no motivation, and that's fine, right? Certain ones, like The Last of Us,
or
do.
Tetris.
Certain ones do, and they pull it off. Yeah. But for the most part, the character is purposefully bland, right? So that you, the player, just kind of immediately connect to him through, not through learning his background, but through just playing as him.
Right? Solving the puzzles.
Same with Link. That's a common thing.
Link, yeah. Because
very little dialogue.
What does Link feel about anything? No idea.
Right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even talk.
He doesn't even talk, yeah.
And that's like become a tradition almost. And if they ruin it, man, if they like do something different, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
Because it feels, it almost feels like sacred in a way. So when they turn it into a movie, they have to add motivation. Mm-hmm. You can't have a movie without any motivation. That would be, that would not play, right? So yeah, do you think that this one did it better than others?
Honestly, I think it is because they humanized him is what made it work. Because we, otherwise it's so otherworldly. It's like, how do you relate to this character? There's like, none of us are that. But they tied him so tightly to his family and wanting to make them proud and, you know, saving his brother, protecting that bond they have. Where you like, you can't attach yourself to that motivation. You know? So I think if they didn't have that human element, it would have been really hard to connect and relate in that way. So I think it actually was a good thing, as weird as it was.
Yeah, for me, it worked with pairing Donkey Kong and Mario together. I was really weirded out by how quickly Peach became friends with him. I was like, what the heck? But with Donkey Kong and Mario, it's like, oh, our dads are disappointing us. We can bond over that. That felt more earned to me than Peach's, but it is kind of just weird. I don't know. If I were to write it, which I'm not a writer, so.
It was also only an hour and like 20 minutes long.
Very fast. So short, so which I appreciated. Yeah, and the being there with my kids, it felt like the perfect length.
Yeah, the fact that they managed to get everything in there that they did with all of the incredible, I will say, fan service that they provided was very impressive to me. Obviously, there are holes. It's Mario. Pipes.
My favorite. What was your favorite fan?
Bricks.
What were your favorite fan service moments? I'll go first. My favorite was the Rainbow Road jump from this level to that level.
Oh. See, they had the big ones like that, and then they have the little ones, like where the big bomb guy sits down and bumps the green shell, and it just doesn't stop bouncing until he stops it, just like green shells, or even the blue shell on Rainbow Road.
Yeah, that was great.
Or it's all like Mario Kart related. When they are at the Jungle Kingdom and the dude throws a banana peel and they slip.
Yeah.
Before that happened, I literally said out loud, I really hope they throw a banana peel. And then they did it. It's like they set up this scene knowing exactly what you want and then they provided it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, visually it's beautiful, super rich, so fun. I think for me is the Mario Kart building. You know, when it's like the slot machine.
Oh, yeah. So oh, right. When they have like three options, so, like what tires.
A button.
She pulls out a controller.
Good. What were some, just kind of approaching this film as a Christian. And it is funny that we're even talking about this.
We know that.
We know that. But are there any kind of maybe layers to it or ways of thinking about it that, I don't know, we have thoughts on?
I think layers of, again, exploring how modern culture has shifted Mario's story compared to back in the day. And you can clearly see that, specifically with Princess Peach. Now she's boss girl. You can tell there's modern feminism at play there. Of like, she doesn't need a man. She doesn't need a hero.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in general, it... Well, you know, I will say though, Mario has always explored the relationship between him and Luigi, especially in Luigi's Mansion.
True.
It almost felt like the main plot was more derived from Luigi's Mansion. Yeah. Because he's trying to rescue Luigi. In Luigi's Mansion, Luigi's trying to look for Mario.
Right.
But it's that similar thing. It's like a brotherly love, a brotherly rescue, which they've already explored pretty well. And then Princess Peach is, she's a great character in Smash.
True.
Yeah. She is a boss girl in Smash. But yeah, it is interesting. I think Mario, I've read articles like criticizing the old Mario for its portrayal of the helpless woman, which I understand the criticism.
Yeah.
I do. But I just think that if you're making a movie aimed at girls, it's okay to portray a man in need of saving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's okay. Girls should see it in themselves, like especially if they're going to get married or if that's like a desire or if they want to be in any sort of relationship or with friendship or anything. It's okay to go, I can heroically save this person. Classic example is Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast is the reverse archetype.
Right.
It's about the beastly man who out of selfishness, tyranny, and oppression has become an animal who needs to be rescued by a beautiful person, like a woman specifically. She's the rescuer, right? And I think that's fine. It's okay to do that. And Mario is a man, and it's okay to tell men, hey, rescuing women is good.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I said earlier, our culture has lost its stomach for symbolism, or what we call, in theology, we call it recapitulation, which is the doctrine that Christ represents humanity. So when we look at Christ, he is the new Adam, the image of the invisible God, the ultimate human, and we look at him to go, okay, represent us before God, Jesus. That's our kind of collective prayer. And stories do that all the time. The hero represents us. William Wallace represents Scotland, right? Or Joan of Arc represents the people of, what is it, France or England or something? So, my point is we've kind of lost that as a culture. We don't like the idea that this archetypal thing happens to this character.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost our stomach for it. We go, oh, you know, women shouldn't be portrayed that way. It's like, it's not dating advice.
Do you think it comes down to people thinking that they don't need a savior because they can just save themselves?
I think that's a huge part of it because specifically in the feminist idea today is the idea, I don't need saving, which is understandable, right? Part of our, especially our culture's doctrine is that you can rescue yourself. You can provide for yourself. Part of that is very empowering, but it's also very isolating. It's very lonely. And to have this idea that I don't need a savior is actually lonely. It's a lonely feeling. It's actually, for the most part, untrue. You do need a savior, sure, spiritually and with Christ, but also in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where would I be without my wife? I don't know. Beauty and the Beast, I am the beast. 100%. Just there's something strange and almost kind. Like, I get it. It's so true. Yeah. I need to be rescued by my wife. And in the same way, I hopefully have done similar things for her. And us coming together has been a beautiful thing. We need each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the go it alone thing, which is a very American ideal, is a really, at the end of the day, I don't know if that's like a super comforting thing.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that it could be very isolating. I mean, I feel the same way, because I can relate to that, especially in my early years. I thought, I don't need people. I can do this or handle this on my own. Through all different traumas I've been through, I thought, I can just do this. I don't need people. They're just going to think I'm weak. And if I don't say anything, I can remain strong, or at least appear that way. Hmm. But then come to find that's not the case. I need a savior. I need my friends. I need my wife. I need my daughter. You know, they do continually like save me.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Okay. Where's the camera? That's okay.
That's okay to need to be saved. But did I have a problem with the telling? Not really. I just wondered what her motivations were.
Yeah.
That was it.
I thought she didn't even need to be in the movie, but obviously she was in the movie.
Yeah. It's almost like the plot of saving the Mushroom Kingdom wasn't Mario's motivation. Mm-hmm. He's trying to save Luigi. And so she kind of recruits him to save the Mushroom Kingdom. We don't really know why. Did she think he would help? Maybe it all comes down to, hey, this guy's a human just like me. Maybe this was meant to happen. I don't know. I just thought that was the weakest part. Yeah. But yeah, I think the conversation around why is Mario an enduring thing, similar to Zelda, it's a very, very archetypal story. And in the Bible, Paul says in Romans 16 that God will soon crush the serpent under your feet. Hmm. And there he's saying that the collective victory of humanity will soon come to pass in Christ. And that is dramatized in Revelation 12 when the dragon is thrown down. I mean, it's this classic stuff, and it's just so epic. And you just are like, oh, I love this. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. And then when you watch Mario or play Mario, you just, I do believe there's a hint of it deep in here.
Deep in your bosom.
Echoing.
Yeah.
This has been How to Watch the Super Mario Bros. Is it Super Mario Bros. Mm-hmm. Movie?
Yeah.
Bros, not brothers.
It's B-R-O-S, period.
Got
however
it.
You want to pronounce that.
This has been How to Watch a Movie as a Christian. We're Pacific Parable, and we'll see you at church. Mm-hmm.